Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
And we're back with an all-new episode of Keep It. I'm Ira.
I continue to do this.
I guess I'm Kara this morning.
You are?
Oh. I'm very tired.
How lucky for us.
I know.
Well, we had some results last week, and I think that Keep It is making change in America when no one else can.
I noticed that.
Scarlett Johansson dropped out of Rub and Tug.
But by the way, I did not realize that was the name of that movie.
It's
that
really
is a horrific title.
Yeah, it's gross.
She released a statement, well, her people released a statement, and said that she recognizes that there is a lack of representation in trans roles in Hollywood, and that she would like to do better by the LGBTQIA plus community, which definitely lets me know she did not write that.
The full acronym was on.
I can never remember the full acronym, and she did. But also, she dropped out of it, and now the movie may not happen.
Right.
Because she may not produce it anymore.
I kind of liked that in the statement she was like, I wanted to bring this person's story to the silver screen, but I understand it's not my place. It also sort of seemed like amazing PR, like somebody who was really with it at some agency wrote it. That said, good. We need more people like that. So,
except if the movie doesn't get made, it's like you actually took a step back for people in multiple ways. I mean, you never should have been playing that role anyway. And now the idea that like a story about a trans person doesn't get to be on film, it's like you still are taking an L, Scarlett Johansson.
Mm-hmm. You dangled it in front of the trans community and now it's not happening.
Like you're so essential to the plot line that we just can't do it without you.
We're really interested in trans plot lines if she's in them.
After last week, Bravo also announced that they are changing the name of their show, Real Men Watch Bravo.
Well, I can't imagine what kind of backlash they got over that. People thought about it for 2 seconds and were over it. Duh. Jesus. That was so grim.
They're still making it, though. So,
well, I mean, there's no title
they
yet.
They don't
right?
have a new title yet.
Like Jerry O'Connell enjoys watching ladies sometimes.
Jerry O'Connell Live? I don't know. Anyway, coming up a little bit later in the podcast, we'll be joined by Jordan Horowitz, a producer on the film La La Land, who had a memorable moment at the Oscars. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of blackness from NPR and how I live my life every day.
Oh, I'm glad to bear witness to it.
Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of a struggle.
It sounds like you at Coachella. I'm already tuned in. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective, from Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations. There's no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths.
Black perspectives have always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as very nuanced and Black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be about us. Without us.
Doesn't the Black experience sound like a 3-disc Prince album we never got? Someone check the vault, please. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Sacha Baron Cohen of Borat fame is back with a new Showtime series titled Who Is America? And he uses several new characters to dupe conservatives and Democrats alike to allegedly expose their hypocrisies.
We actually found out that in schools, it's not only important to arm the teachers, it's important to arm certain gifted children.
Oh, that's great.
We train from 16-year-old up to 4 years old.
This segment of the conversation would absolutely cause heads to explode here in this country.
Why? Because they will be shot? Or?
Because that they're so prejudiced against young people having guns, and especially in a school.
The only thing that stops a bad man with a gun is a good boy with a gun.
Yeah, even a good toddler.
Exactly, a toddler, really.
The series isn't that great.
Also, I was actually aware they were hypocrites already, so I don't know that I needed stunt comedy.
One of the guys is like that dick who screamed, "You lie," at Barack Obama. It's like, we know he's a shitty person. You have Sarah Palin on the lineup. Like, my God, why is this woman still around?
She, to me, is like Ramona Singer, where they truly look like their brain is run by bees. They just, I can't tell that they're thinking anything coherent other than there are bees inside me.
Joe Walsh is on the show. And he is a regular Twitter monster. Bernie Sanders is even in it, so this is where the show sort of reveals that Cohen's stick is outdated. It's basically him playing a character trying to convince Bernie Sanders of something that, like, you can make the 99% part of the 1% by just math. And Bernie is looking at him like, none of this makes any sense. What are you talking about? And it's really just like 5 minutes of him trying to convince Bernie of something, and it doesn't work. So why is that in a TV show?
Right. Here's the thing. I think the show would be better if it were just basically Portlandia. If he was playing sketch characters and, you know, acting absurd, and there was no element of, I'm going to, in an absurd way, step into real politicians' lives or real crazy people's lives and, like, make them look bad. Because that, to me, we're already familiar with that. We're already familiar with their shamelessness. And again, they are still not ashamed, even after he has done this shit to them. So there's no, like, takeaway.
Yeah, I've always felt like Sacha Baron Cohen was not for me. Even, like, Borat, where it was like, oh, you've revealed that people all over the country are racist and awful. I'm like, yeah. Right. I don't know what, I mean, I get that for some people, perhaps that might have been a surprise. I guess some people might be surprised that Joe Walsh is a terrible fucking person. But I'm like, I already knew all this. So I was like, I don't know what he's ever been exposing. And then also, I feel strongly that his audience are people who already know these things.
Totally.
Like, anyone willing to sit down and watch the show is not going to be like, Sarah Palin? Huh?
So he tricked a lot of them into pretending or, you know, agreeing with the fact that we should arm toddlers in school. And then,
which we're against on this podcast. I meant to say that.
Are we?
We haven't discussed it. I'm sorry. I don't mean to presume.
I love a younger battle royale. But then all of these conservatives started coming out being like, we were duped. We were tricked. And the only funny part of this was the fact that these people were willingly admitting that they were duped by Sacha, like trying to get out in front of the story, being like, oh, this was just a trick. But it's like, you said this stuff on camera.
Right. Also, Joe Walsh in particular, in trying to get, you know, ahead of the story, was like, I gotta own what I said. Like, that was him being like, well, you got me. I think toddlers should be murderers.
I also so badly want to see him in person in the makeup, because it
Shocking.
Does not look that real to me. Like, it looks weird.
Awful.
It looks weird. It looks like this is not a normal person. And maybe in person, listen, I don't know. Maybe in person it looks more realistic, but it doesn't seem like it does. So that's the other thing of, like, you've agreed to do this very vague, I assume, show. Like, clearly they're not giving you tons of details besides, like, it's a Showtime thing about America. And then this weirdo walks in. No one in the Bernie camp was like, hold up.
He looks like a Halloween mask.
Right. Like, no one stopped this. No one seemed to think it was weird, which I find so fascinating. I'm like, maybe it does look really real.
Yeah. Well, also, I think the thing that is fascinating just about him in general and all the shows he does is it's more about the dynamic between who he's interviewing and the fact that they're on camera. Like, you're watching them piece together, like, what is this? More than you're watching them even react to what he's saying. And that's what I'm thinking about. Like, I keep thinking about the production.
Because like, they're not like... They're trying to piece together, oh, what is this show? Slash also, who is this character from White Chicks in
yes.
front of me impersonating a human? The person that he does that is very pro-gun is the worst of the makeup, though. Like, he looks like his face is falling apart.
Yeah, he looks like, do you know what the group Sha-Na-Na is from the set, like 70s? They were like, they did like Greaser covers of 50 songs. He looks like Bowser from Sha-Na-Na. If Bowser's face was a foot and a half long.
To the five people listening who understand that reference, I hope you enjoyed it. All five of you.
In that nursing home, they are cackling.
That Lou is so funny. So up to date with his references.
Sha-Na-Na. The name on all the kids' lips.
I feel there was an article in the Daily Beast that talked about this and seems worth mentioning that one of the writers on the show is a man named Kurt Metzger, who has been accused of sexual assault a few years ago, was just generally a dick.
Horrible.
Awful to writers like Lindy West. He made a lot of rape jokes, is just a really shitty person. The show is written, all of the writers listed on the show are men. I'm gonna assume they're all white men. That involvement already is just not inspiring, I'm gonna say, a ton of hope for me.
Yeah, sympathy. Yeah.
Yeah, I just, also nobody watched the show, guys. It got like 327,000 viewers. So
They released like the most important clip online anyway. Yeah. So it's like, why would I tune into this?
And I think they also had to be very sort of coy about it with the marketing and things like that. Like, they couldn't make it super obvious, like, this show was coming because people might catch on, but nobody watched it anyway. So.
I would also like to add that the title fucking sucks. Like, who is America? It's not cynical enough. I don't need the word America in titles anymore.
And that's the thing. It's, again, thinking that he's exposing something
right.
we don't already know.
Yeah, grim.
Yeah, can he expose the difference between Isla Fisher and Amy Adams already?
Can he expose why he was in that goddamn movie, Hugo? You have to think clocks are pretty motherfucking whimsical to get into that movie.
I thought that he was going to, like, go towards real acting after Sweeney Todd. He was good in that movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Or in the video for Music by Madonna, my favorite rapper and comedian.
Well, you know, he had a lot of opportunities.
Exactly.
And he is.
Squandered.
Bungled, though. I did not even realize until Kara sent the email about Kurt Metzger.
Oh, yeah,
being
me neither.
In the show. It came out after the show aired, of course. And people
yeah,
aren't
publish
really
these articles
talking
first,
yes.
guys. You can publish these articles before the show comes out.
I want to know who is on current staffs of shows coming up, because he was an egregious case of someone that everyone was like, I hope he never works again. And you knew he was going to work again because Amy Schumer didn't even want to fire him when he was on her show. So, yeah, we're out here hiring
the most aggressive assholes. I mean, like, he would shout back at people like Sadie Doyle and Lindy West, you know, who are, I'm sorry, if you have a serious problem with Lindy West, you need to get off the internet. She's like the John Wayne of the internet. We need her to keep Law and Order.
He's awful. Awful men, again, continue to thrive. But it's also like, of course, this dude is writing on this show.
Yeah.
Like, nothing, that's the thing. Like, I don't know what Sacha Baron Cohen could do in this realm other than just, like, going and being a decent actor. That would be surprising. Like, this doesn't feel cutting edge. This doesn't feel fresh. Like, you're hiring creeps from years ago. Like, it's all just, like, very old, stale news.
And also, the parts of the character comedy that are funny are no different than what he did 13 years ago or
right.
whatever, you know. So it's just, that doesn't feel particularly updated. I agree.
Well, Sasha, I don't know. I'm not going to watch it again. I'm mad I watched it again. Thanks for the Showtime login, somebody.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.
Recently, Nicki Minaj was at the center of a internet maelstrom.
No, why was she there? This is new.
She was looking for Moby Dick.
Oh, I
out
see.
Out in the ocean.
Maelstrom.
Anyway, Juana Thompson, a freelance writer and self-described Nicki Minaj fan, started this entire thing by tweeting the other week, "You know how dope it would be if Nicki put out mature content. No silly shit, just reflecting on past relationships, being a boss, hardships, etc. She's touching 40 soon. A new direction is needed." Nicki responded first by tweeting out a list of songs that she considered to have mature content. And then she DM'd Juana, calling her a myriad of things, but mostly calling her ugly, and finished with, "Just say you jealous. I'm rich, famous, intelligent, pretty, and go." Juana then posted their exchange online and was set upon by the Barbs, which are Nicki Minaj's fan base.
Perfect interneting, everybody. Everyone did a good job.
This was mostly like Twitter nonsense until like the New York Times wrote about it. And of course, now the question is, how do things like this happen? And are music fans, stands, if you will, out of control?
Can I just say quickly, I think I last saw that Nicki Minaj is worth like $75 million. If I had half of that, the extent to which you people would never even see me, hear from me, haven't heard a rumor, you would all just be like, "Oh, where's Kara?" Kara would be on a beach not worrying about anybody. Certainly not worried about random people tweeting about me in any capacity. In the article, they talk about how Twitter, and it's sort of become this thing where now you can, you know, interact with celebrities and people that you like on a more even playing field and whatever. But I'm like, if you're that rich and famous, go be rich and famous. Why are you doing this?
I kind of do miss the days of like fandom, whatever, 20, 25 years ago. Like, look, if I'm like 31 years old in the year of 1990, if I went up to like Taylor Dane on the street and was like, "Taylor Dane, I love you, Taylor Dane. That's my number one." She would spit in my mouth and slap me. That's the way it should be. That's where I belong, beneath her and her massive curls.
Tell it to my open hand fist.
Yes, don't rush me. Yes. Tell it to my open hand fist.
Slap will lead you back.
Right. Oh my God, you have all the titles.
I'm just doing puns today.
You're also a stan. All right, the reaction is overblown. I'm sorry, Nicki, like throw all these people or whatever. It's the kind of tweet that's pretending to be shady when it is really just petty. Like, it's like, "I wish she would write about different things." You're basically telling her to be an entirely different artist, which is completely patronizing. I kind of understand Nicki's wrath.
Nicki is 35. Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, the funniest thing about the exchange between them, by the way, is that when Nicki responds to her, she's like, "By the way, I'm 34. Oh, no, wait. My bad. I'm 35. She had to reply again to correct herself.
That's the most iconic part. Who knows how old I am?
No, wait. My bad. I'm 35. But also, like, she's pushing 40. So rap about some mature shit.
I think the other thing, though, is, like, unlike, you know who's wonderful at, like, the fan clapback, as she is wonderful at most things, is Rihanna.
Oh,
because
course.
Rihanna is pithy and funny, and she only does it once. She's not up here DMing people, threatening them, and calling them ugly. Because Rihanna is smoking a blunt and living her life and enjoying her wealth. Like, that's the thing about Nicki. Nicki always has kind of gone a little too far, where if she had just sort of responded to it, even with, like, "Bitch, I'm 35, 5, we all would have been like, ha ha, you win because you're Nicki Minaj. And instead, she just like goes too far.
Kim
with
Kardashian
this.
Gets like fucking BuzzFeed articles written every time she does like the faintest of a clap back at somebody. It is not that hard to get people on your side when you are going against people who are trolling you online.
Right.
But Nicki spends maybe too much time interacting with her fans. She knows too much about what they are always tweeting about her, which is crazy to me.
Can I also say, in the New York Times article, they kept calling her Miss Minaj, which is not her name. Her last name is not Minaj, it's Mirage. And I wonder, I don't think that they got it wrong. I assumed that's what she wanted to be called. But that the New York Times weren't like, no, we're going to call this adult woman by her real government last name, I found very funny.
Also, I keep thinking about what rapping about mature content is. Like, if she would put out a restrained Annie Lennox Diva album. Like, what is, like, the face of what you want from Nicki Minaj? You know what I mean?
But it's also...
Kylie is still talking about going to the club.
Right. Yes. Oh, that Kylie.
Kylie Minogue.
Yes. Yeah.
So...
I just feel like it's also... Like, the tweet is silly, but also kind of innocuous. The thing that I found most troubling, and not that anyone goes to KarenCivil.com for serious music journalism, but... In the article, this girl had a unpaid internship at KarenCivil.com, which is a website. They also do like social media strategy for celebrities and musicians. And they fired her because of that tweet. And it's partly because she had to sign something where she said she wouldn't disparage like anyone that they work with or might want to work with. So mm-hmm. Everyone. So there's also the problem. this is Billboard, where people are expecting serious journalism from KarenCivil.com. But if you're going to purport to be kind of a journalistic endeavor and you're writing articles, like, this is the kind of shit that really undermines everything. And it's a larger issue of just, like, the idea that understanding, like, what you're consuming and, like, who's writing it and, like, are these people just, like, doing advertisements for artists and things like that seems very troubling, perhaps if more so if it were not KarenCivil.com.
They also fully embarrassed themselves by one of the people who works for Karen Civil being like, we're firing her from her unpaid internship. It's like, she would write articles for y'all for free. Like, why would you expose yourselves like that? It just made everybody look a damn
fool. Everyone looked dumb.
Including the stans who, you know, were taking photos from Juana's Instagram of her 4-year-old child and calling that child ugly. Ugh. It's just like, you can defend your fave without being a lunatic.
I mean, if you are not putting food in my mouth, money in my hand, or a roof over my head, I will be goddamned if I'm out here sleuthing to say mean things about someone on your behalf. Are you crazy?
I'm also literally picturing a website putting food in your mouth now, and it's really a shocking image. Also, there was a BuzzFeed article about how, like, stan culture often produces, like, meaningful conversations between pop fans. And I want to say, that's true some of the time. But, like... Here's my problem with stans. I hate stans who are fans of only one thing, because then it becomes their entire identity. Then they can't discuss things constructively. They can't acknowledge the, you know, the merits of other artists and stuff. And I just want to say, if you're going to be a fan of pop music, you need a whole cluster of people you're a fan of. Otherwise, I think you're psychotic. So
the same people went after Jonathan Van Ness from Queer Eye because
what a menace.
I know, right? He tweeted that he was surprised Nicki Minaj would cover Harper's Bazaar, Russia, you know, considering Russia is out here hacking our elections at the moment. And the stans, once again, were like, America's out here ruining other countries too. Why don't you attack any other artist that goes on an American cover? And I'm like, this is why I don't like stan culture, because they cannot have constructive conversations. I can love Nicki Minaj and also say, Chun-Li's a little bit racist, and maybe you shouldn't have been on the cover of a Russian magazine this week.
Right.
While Hold Trump off. And Putin are hanging around with each other. Maybe
don't be
wait
on the,
a bit.
Don't be on the Chechnya Times this week. Can you hold off?
She has also done shit like this before. She's performed for that dictator in Angola, I think. And not to say, listen, other pop stars have performed for dictators and we don't love it. But she just always seems to double down. That's her
Justin
thing.
Justin Timberlake this bitch is always, a dictator.
Nikki always doubles down in a way that, like, if you just, again, didn't say any fucking thing, you could skate by because people want to like you and just sort of kind of want to forget about this bullshit anyway. But she has to just talk. And then it's like, now it's a whole thing. Girl, just like, be quiet.
Let your rolling around on the floor at the BET Awards speak for itself, Nikki. Don't DM people because you know they're going to repost
That's
it.
That's the other thing. The way celebrities, when they slide into people's DMs, I'm like, you might as well just tweet it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know this is going to get screened. You think this is going to be secret? You think you're dragging this girl, calling her ugly, can't remember your own damn age, and she's not going to share that with the world? Give me a break.
That is very weird. Why would you DM somebody like, oh, you're ugly? Just keep that to yourself, though. You're ugly. Good night. Bye-bye.
If you can't even text Kanye West in safety, you sure as hell can't tweet a random stranger right. on Twitter and expect it not to go up.
That's my favorite Aesop's Fable moral right there.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
The Emmy nominations brought a lot of fantastic surprises. Sandra Oh becoming the first Asian American to receive the Best Actress in a Drama nomination.
Or any acknowledgement whatsoever. Isn't that wild?
I know. Don't even get me started on Sandra Oh.
Literally just like a floor littered with Grey's Anatomy nominations and no wins.
Right. Isn't that weird? Because you know who the only winner on that show was? Katherine Heigl.
Moving on.
I knew that, I have to say.
The deer didn't win anything that she operated
right.
on. Issa Rae was also nominated for Best Lead Actress in a Comedy. And women were very represented as comedy creators. But as far as dramas, the creators are still white men, except for Lisa Joy, co-creator of Westworld. So to discuss that.
Just that specific.
Our first straight white man to be on Keep It.
Wow.
Are
is
you?
Is that true?
I think it is.
What an
Jordan
honor.
Jordan Horowitz.
What an honor, guys.
Jordan Horowitz, executive producer of the Starz series Counterpart and co-writer of the film Fast Color with his wife, Julia Hart. Thanks for joining us, Jordan.
I will accept that mantle.
Just history being made left and right today.
Left and right today. Left and right today. How are you guys?
We're great. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Are you a big Emmy fan?
Well, yeah. I mean, I watch the Emmys, and I certainly watch a lot of television. I actually have a show that did not get nominated. So, actually, it got one nomination for Best Title Sequence.
Holler.
So there you go.
Wait, is that a real it's a category?
It's not like it's not a televised category, but it is a real category.
Oh yeah. My God, that's actually changing my life because I've been watching Succession on HBO, and it is the longest title sequence.
Oh, yeah.
I have ever seen. It is so unbelievably long.
Yeah.
And I was like, why is this so long? But knowing that there's an award
An award for best
title
sequence.
That completely makes
sense. There's an award for every. They're like 712 Emmys.
I
don't know. I pulled that number out of nowhere. It's not a real number. But
Lewis, how many are there?
There are a lot of Emmys.
I wish I knew. There's that crazy Creative Arts Emmys where the ceremony's like 11 hours long.
And it's like 2 days long.
Yeah.
It's 2 days of 11-hour days or something insane like that.
That's where they give out the awards that will not be televised.
But it's also... Yeah, exactly. And they also give out all the craft awards. They give out the cinematography awards. And if you think about it, there's a cinematography award for every one of those categories. So there's a craft award for every one of like half-hour comedy, hour-long drama, television movie, you know, reality show, what all that stuff. There are crafts awards inside of each of those categories,
and they
all have
a team to thank.
Exactly, it's a long, it's a lot. But yeah, no, we unfortunately the show's counterpart, this J.K. Simmons show.
I really like counterpart.
Well, thank you, I appreciate it. I also really like it. I was very happy with the show, but you know, it's. There just wasn't enough awareness of the show, and maybe this helps. It's too out of its time.
It's the bionic of TV.
People will come to it eventually. It's not on HBO. It's not on Netflix.
Yeah, there's also 20 million television shows.
Exactly, there are 20 million television shows. There's 22,000 people in the TV Academy.
Yeah,
and at the end of the day, the biggest hurdle for Emmy nominations is the first biggest hurdle is awareness. Right. You know, and if there's no awareness with a group that large, it's really hard to kind of penetrate it all.
Can I just ask a question about J.K. Simmons?
Yeah, of course.
Is every pain on his body like adamantium steel? He just is like the sleekest.
It's really unbelievable.
Yeah, I just feel like you would touch him and you would be like bounced back across the room.
Yeah, he is in shape.
And very, very talented.
Yeah. He's terrific on the show too. I think I'm most disappointed that his performance wasn't recognized in the show, because I think he's really good.
Well, I guess what is it even like preparing as a producer
going
into Emmy season as opposed to going into Oscar season?
It's really interesting. And a lot of it has to do with the size of the voting body, right? Because the Academy voting body is much smaller, and so you can be a lot more targeted with your campaigning.
You can go door to door.
You can go door to door. You can literally you can literally call names on a list. I mean, it's not legal, but literally you can see you can see who's on the list of the when it's 22,000 people, you just can't do that, which is why it's this much more nebulous thing. You sort of do the same thing in terms of PR and people working and getting out, and you know, there's that same set of awards pundits and all of those people that you do, and you do that sort of traditional PR. You do an outdoor campaign, like a four-year consideration campaign, you do radio stuff, you try to hit all of the different places that people are paying attention. But you know, what's different with TV is when there isn't an awareness, that PR stuff doesn't have a landing pad. Mm-hmm. And so JK actually had a lot of really good PR for the show, for Counterpart. I thought he did a lot of, you know, he was on a lot of those roundtables. He did a lot of panels. We did a lot of screenings. There was really good response to the show. And I think it raised the awareness of the show in the context of just that Emmy, you know, that Emmy campaign. But unfortunately, the show just didn't have a ton of eyeballs going in, and you know, I'm sure we raised the awareness a little bit, but just not enough to get it fully hooked in. But
do you know what I find particularly crazy about the Emmys is that the nominations come out in July, and then the show is not for another 2 months.
Yeah, it's a long time.
It's like we'll see you in another season when we actually get to the damn Emmys.
Yeah,
I only had 2 real hopes for the Emmys. I tweeted this. You can find the tweet like months ago when the episode came out. I was like, Cat Williams deserves an Emmy nomination for his guest role in Atlanta. He was so good and so just like unhinged and ridiculous. And I was like, also because you know that's not that far from who Cat Williams is in his soul, which I love. But he did get nominated and I'm so excited for him. And I thought American Vandal was the funniest thing created in the year 2017.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
It was so.
And they did a little campaign for that.
They did.
They definitely did.
They got. I don't remember the nominee. They got something because I think it was listed as a limited series. Mm-hmm.
Did they get best title sequence too?
Oh my god, they probably should have. Oh my god, I'll have to check. But I'm glad they got some recognition because I don't like dick jokes, and the show was just one long dick joke.
When that show was, I remember I was at dinner and someone told me about that show, and I was like, "There's literally no way this show is good." There's an earnestness.
Yes.
There's just like a sincerity and authenticity that they approach it with.
Yeah.
And obviously it's funny and smart.
Yeah.
But it is, those kids are all amazing.
The kids are amazing.
The performances are legitimately great.
They're amazing. Yeah. And it was like just the right amount of like satire to sort of the true crime genre where they got to get some good jabs in. It was not heavy-handed. It was so funny in just like the dumbest way, and I loved it.
Yeah, agreed.
You know what I also kind of stand for? I brought this up in the show before, I believe, but Versace got a whole bunch of nominations, including Ricky Martin is now an Emmy-nominated actor.
Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy to live in this universe. I don't know if I needed him to get that nomination, but he is, like, buttery gold at all times, and that is my favorite color. So,
and in all white, he's like wearing, or is he's wearing a lot of white.
He's wearing Versace-ness.
Movie.
Yeah.
You know, he's could be close to an EGOT.
That's right. By the way, I just saw Darren Criss on the street the other day. What a tiny little snack. just FYI.
All right.
Do you guys think that John Legend is going to EGOT? Because he did this in...
For sure.
In like 2 minutes, it feels
for
like.
Sure.
I feel like he did this overnight. Like in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my God, you're about to EGOT out of nowhere, John Legend, like, who used to sing books on Kanye's songs.
I did
work
with John.
You worked with John on a little known film.
I did.
Called La La La.
I did.
An art house picture.
An art house picture. I mean, listen. It was the talk of the country. Still trying to raise awareness. So, he's a wonderful guy.
Yeah, in
he's
like a
really
day.
Great, yeah.
Like, he's fully going to EGOT, and we're going to be like, John Legend, how did you do that? Like, as soon as he started trying.
Yeah, he just did it.
He just did it.
That makes sense. That seems right.
Yeah. No, wait, I have a question now.
Yeah.
Are you traumatized by award shows now? I mean, truly, can you even think about them after your amazing, one-of-a-kind story?
it put awards shows in perspective for me in a really kind of wonderful way. I try to do stuff, like the work that I do, I try to focus on the process of doing the work and kind of invest my success and failure in what that process is, right? Because I can't control how people receive my work once it's done and, you know, put out into the world. So the thing that I can control is the people I work with, how we do the work, right? And when you're in the awards show, you know, bubble and that roller coaster of preparing for award shows, it gets very binary and you start to live in the expectations of will you win or will you lose, right? And you forget about the process. You start to live in this projection of what's going to happen as opposed to what actually is happening. Because you think that's okay, because like it's an award show, you're either going to win or you're going to lose. that it's like it's super binary, and so you're like, okay, I'm going to let myself feel like what I'm going to feel like I'm going to win, what I'm going to feel like. So you prepare yourself for it. But then when even that is kind of blown up in your face and you can't rely on those things being binary, it sort of you're like, oh yeah, that was just a reminder that even that is a process related event. You can't get lost in the expectations of what it's going to be, and you have no control over it, and it does not matter.
Right.
Nothing matters.
So at the end of the day, what I'm saying is nothing matters.
Guys, I look at pictures of Fiona,
it all up.
The hippo, and just think nothing matters. Yeah. This is all made up.
But yeah, it's great. It's great to get recognition, but also having been inside it, you see the machine that it takes to, you know, I was talking about awareness, right? Like that is, awareness has a lot to do with how much money people are willing to spend promoting your show.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you can do incredible work and, you know, they didn't spend money in the right place or they didn't spend enough money and people just don't know what the show is or they don't know what the movie is or they don't, you know, and we live in a world where things can be discovered, which is great, but that sometimes takes a lot of time. You know, award shows are about what people are aware of and liking in that particular moment for a variety of reasons. And so, you know, that's sort of how I approach them now. It's a healthier way to live. What?
Even with the Emmys and Oscars, you know, it's sort of decided this is sort of Oscar material.
Things are anointed.
This is Emmy material.
It's what I noticed.
HBO had their 17-year streak.
Exactly.
That was finally broken this year.
You know, it's different with the movies. There are movies that feel anointed. And because it's a different crop of movies every year, you know, there are different movies that are anointed coming from different places, from different people. With television, there's a little bit of things have been anointed in the past, so they'll continue to be anointed going forward, which again, I think feeds into that awareness thing just because in the past they got nominated because they came from an HBO or a Showtime or a Netflix or whatever, and people are super aware of them. And then season to season, it's a little bit, not to say that I'm not passing judgment on any of the shows, but just it's a little bit of an autopilot for the Academy of saying, well, this show was nominated last year, so of course it's going to be nominated this year, right?
I'll pass judgment. Hello, Modern Family. That was nominated
175 years. Times,
which in, it was an amazing show.
It was
show
an amazing show.
For
yeah.
like the first four
agreed,
years.
Agreed,
and then
agreed.
It was like, enough. Enough.
But then
of
it
this
kept getting
already.
Nominated because people getting, were aware of it. Yeah, it happens in both categories.
Yeah.
It's happening
until
a little bit less.
Year.
It's happening less in comedy, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But in drama, I just think it's really impenetrable, especially for first season shows, especially for first season shows that aren't on giant networks that are willing to really put the money in.
Comedy tends
them.
To have
so,
more of a turnover.
A little bit of a turnover, exactly.
And drama, it's like, well, these HBO shows and these AMC shows like are yeah. going to be nominated.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
every drama nominated this year has been nominated before. Or it was at least not their first season.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But in comedy, you had things like Glow, you know,
yeah.
Which I loved.
Betty Gilpin, she is awesome.
I have not
that
seen
show.
The second season of that they'll show yet, but I've heard the second season. I heard the second season is great.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Just finished it.
Yeah.
They're
the
not a comedy. I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I mean, great show. I would not call it a comedy.
No, when like Toni Collette wins for United States of Terror, I'm like, this is somebody with a disorder that could kill her.
I was also very excited for Viola Davis to get nominated
for
Scandal for playing Annalise Keating in that episode of Scandal because I want her to beat...
Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah. He was the first actor who was nominated three times for the same character.
Ah.
And what
Wings.
Was the third? Wings he was nominated
you think
for.
I
yes.
seen
amazing.
Wings.
Frasier and Cheers.
You
yeah.
think I haven't seen Wings, Louis Fertel?
I didn't know if you knew the Emmy trivia.
But I know that I used to watch Wings late night.
All right.
I
don't
used
come
to,
for
I,
me with
I
TV.
Also used to watch Wings late night. Wait,
Crystal,
very
sorry, what's
much.
Her name? The woman on the show? Oh, now you don't watch Wings.
Crystal Galore?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yes, yeah. She's great. I love her.
Crystal Waters?
Yeah.
Jordan, mostly, what is it like for you in the industry since you've become, you know, the Oscars happen, and then on Twitter now, you've become more politically active?
You know, it's funny. If you go back and look at my... Twitter feed before that, I was also politically active. It's just a lot of less people listening.
Now people know.
Yeah, now there's just more people listening. So, yeah.
Does that affect how people perceive you?
For sure. Oh, for sure. It's always easier going into places when people have an expectation of how you're going to behave or be, right? So in the work that I do, it's a lot of, just as a producer, it's a lot of people management, right? And so there's an expectation that like, oh, Jordan will be fair. Jordan will tell us what the truth of this situation is, you know? And so as a producer, that's actually really, that's a nice thing to have as a tool in my toolkit. You know, it's the ability to kind of just like come in and say, actually, this is the direction we're going to head in, right? So that's been really helpful. You know, I can call whoever I need and generally get a return call, so that's that's a big positive. That's helpful. It's funny. I wear a hat a lot, but when I don't wear a hat, people tend sometimes recognize
yeah,
me,
yeah.
but often recognize me and they're like, "Hey, I know." Now that it's been like 2 years since that happened, I get a lot of people coming up to me like, "I we've met. I totally know you." And I'm like, "Maybe." And they're like, "No, you know my friend Greg." And I'm like, I don't know that I know your friend Greg. And then eventually they're like, wait, oh, I know who you are. And then, or sometimes they're like, I don't know who you are.
They're like, you know my friend Faye Dunaway.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the way I always think I know Seth Rogen at Coffee Commissary.
Right.
Where I'm like, do I know this guy? And then I'm like, no, it's, and then he opens his mouth. I'm like, oh no, it's Seth fucking Rogen.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely like a, it's just a familiarity.
Yes.
And I get that, especially when I'm showing my bald head around.
That, stay approachable, know? I said.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they're going to flash back to that moment every year.
Forever.
So
forever.
People will always
I have
think
very,
they know you.
I have very darkly said that I have at the very least solidified my place and photograph in the In Memoriam. So, yeah.
What are you working on next?
I'm about to go. My wife is a filmmaker. She's
yes,
a director.
She is.
And we're about to go make a movie for Disney called Stargirl.
Stargirl. Counterpoint season
Counterpart,
two.
Yeah.
Counterpart
season two. Yeah.
You're doing it all.
Yeah, doing it all. And then I have a bunch of television development happening too. The show with Damien actually at Apple that we're doing.
La La Land, the TV series.
La La Land, the TV show. Yeah,
the animated adventure.
Ooh, I like that. That's actually a really
Adrian Barbeau as the Emma Stone role.
The amount of times I seriously get pitched on Twitter for like a La La Land prequel or sequel is you'd be surprised. Just, and I'm like, I don't, that's not how it works. I'm sorry.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Jordan.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate being the first straight white man on the show.
And the last. And isn't that wild?
First and last.
Never again.
Well, I hope finally we had our moment in the sun.
Yeah. Indeed. You did your people proud.
Yeah, so there you go.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
And now for the segment that we love to get to at the end of the show. It's Keep It. Lewis, you're staring at me like you want to either talk about, I don't know, Jodi Picoult or...
Okay. I'm not a Jodi Picoult person. I'm a Jodi Watley person. Thank you, bitch. Okay. First of all, keep it to myself for not being able to remember the name Crystal Bernard from Wings. We love you, queen. Second of all, keep it to... I've just been inundated with these this week. Instagram pictures of unicorn pool floaties.
Unicorns, the gays are doing a lot.
That's what I'm saying. Unicorn pool floaties are the Hamilton playbills of gay thirst Instagram. I have seen them a few times now. Let me just say something. When you're on a unicorn pool floaty, first of all, I can't even see your abs or like your torso crevices or whatever I should be seeing. So already you're failing. Second of all, unicorns are not awesome. They just are horses that look like cookies. That is it.
Also, they're not real.
They're not real. And also, just the amount of people who bring up unicorns as if it gives them a personality. No, bringing up unicorns is the lowest form of gay personality. You know what's actually cool? Real horses. You know what real horses will do? Be mean. That's what I like.
They shoot them, don't they?
That's all right. You may not bring up Jane Fonda references. That is only my job. Find another kind of floaty. I don't know. Do we? Maybe we need to diversify our flotation devices.
You're not into the thirst traps.
Well, no, I'm into thirst traps.
Lewis loves a thirst
trap. I know
he
doesn't like these thirst
traps. That's what I'm saying. Be inventive, people.
Give Lewis some thirst traps he can marvel over.
Arrange your nipples in a new way for me.
Yes. Get to work, everyone.
Throw on that Speedo again, Lewis, and take that Instagram.
I usually just borrow other people's. How about that, sweetie?
Kara, what are you keeping this with?
You'll be surprised. It has to do with wrestling. I don't know much about this. I saw this. I'm going to assume this is real, that Hulk Hogan
is trash. Yes. Reinstated
into, first of all, the WWE Hall of Fame. I don't know how you have the nerve to have a Hall of Fame when the outcome of these matches were written by a group of people. I don't know how that's determined, but he was reinstated.
Star power.
Right. He was reinstated after he was kicked out because he is a horrible racist piece of shit. And they brought him back in because, I don't know, nobody cares anymore because apparently that audio isn't still out in the world. I don't know the rationale. This is not a real Hall of Fame. You could have just kept him out to just make it kind of clear that you sort of think that him screaming the N-word a bunch of times is not like a cute thing to do. And if, you know... You brought WWE into our life. You forced it in once.
Right.
And if I had been at all open to it then, I would be closed off now. But luckily, I rejected it then, and I reject it now.
Listen, the WWE is very problematic. I was very upset by this news, particularly because China is not in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Because
she did... porn in the past.
No.
And Vince McMahon is more concerned about people Googling China and finding porn than he is people Googling Hulk Hogan and finding him saying nigga a bunch of times. So
By the way, Kara, you know that we were in Mexico City.
Yes.
I was out somewhere.
We went to wrestling.
This bastard took me to wrestling. Guess what? I'm not the same after sitting through that shit.
He was cheering at one point.
I had to enjoy myself. You want me to sit there and like glower like Claire Danes?
You loved every moment.
There were moments, but it's like watching choreography. It was like watching a Paula Abdul video.
Which is fine. Like, I don't, I feel
rush,
like,
rush.
I do feel like wrestling people get mad at you when you're like, it's not real, which, I mean, fine. I truly do not care. I think having a Hall of Fame for it is a little silly. And also, like, if this is going to be made up, maybe make up some people who aren't awful racists.
There's that.
Try that.
Well, you know why they took him back? He's gorgeous.
The hottest man I've ever seen.
He looks like he's about to blow up every time, like a pop like a balloon every time I see that man.
My keep it is Andy Cohen's Instagram.
That's where I get all my news. What are you talking about?
I have, you know what? I've had enough of this man. First, he started waging a war with the city of New York over the trash that was in the street, which, welcome to New York, bitch. Now, Instagram has that annoying questions.
I may have enjoyed that feature, yes.
I know. Your 7-hour tour of answering questions about the Carpenters. No, Andy Cohen started answering questions. And, you know, you don't have to answer every question that's asked of you.
Definitely.
But
not.
One person asked him, have you ever had sex with a black guy before? And he responded with just like a thumbs up picture and smiling. And I'm like, you know what, Andy? I've had enough of you.
Talk about a question you don't need to answer.
Also, you need to answer it.
Keep it to the whoever asked that too.
Yeah.
Like, oh, have you ever slept with a black guy, Andy? Maybe you want to sleep with me. Like, what is this? It's creepy.
That is bizarre and pathetic.
And it sounds like just something Andy would do anyway. And I think I need to just unfollow him already.
I always say that he, I always think, like, what deal with the devil did he make to become the person he is? And I realize, no, people make deals with him. He's the devil. The devil and Andy Cohen. How about that short story?
They're the same person. From the Powerpuff Girls.
Yes, him, yes. Zordon from Power Rangers.
Zordon was the good guy. It's
yeah,
Lord Zedd.
Lord Zedd, sorry. Zordon was just in the big tube.
Ugh, and you call yourself
an ass-deet.
All right, that is our show. Next week, Lewis, I'm finally getting rid of you.
Well, you promised it for a long enough time. It's nice you could pull through on one goddamn thing in this universe. But also, you got rid of Kara too, you moron.
Yes, it's because next week I will be in New York recording with two friends of mine, Doreen St. Felix, a writer at The New Yorker. And we used to host a little podcast together called Speed Dial at MTV News. We will also be joined by Call Your Girlfriend's Aminatou Sow.
I hope those unsuspecting rubes tolerate the poem about whatever wrestling or Dallas you have prepared that you wouldn't use with me and Kara.
Still, I rise.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.